Let's look at the war through the NBC War Telescope. Each Saturday at this time, the National Broadcasting Company focuses the War Telescope on London for some interesting and unusual sidelights on the war as seen by NBC observers in the British capital. Today, our reporter is NBC's Bill Chaplin. So go ahead, NBC London.
This is W.W. Chaplin in London. You know by now, of course, the latest great exploit of the Allied Air Forces. The bombing of the Pescara Dam in Italy. The flooding of the German lines on the Adriatic side, opposite Cassino. You know about that, and so I merely mention it in brief, and to lead up to something else. To let you look today behind the scenes of just such dramatic exploits. The bombing of that Pescara Dam, in which not one of our planes was lost. That was done with Kitty Hawks and Mustangs. These particular planes were flown by pilots of the RAF. Our men of the AAF also fly Mustangs. That's the plane used by the American fighter group that today holds the record for destroying more German planes than any other. More than 500 German planes. It's about that particular American group and its leader that I want to tell you today, that I and the leader of that group himself will tell you about. You remember that old English saying that Britain's battles are won on the playing fields of Eton. And there's a lot of sense to that. Well, today I'm going to show you how some of our battles were won long before this war came along. Back in the last decade, there was a kid named Blakesley who lived in a small suburb of Cleveland. And for him, the big days of every year were the days of the annual Cleveland Air Races. This kid from Fairport Harbor, Ohio, would come into the big town those days and sit up in the bleachers with his eyes just hanging out on his cheeks. He was in the bleachers physically, but really he was right in those fast planes, pouring on the coal, banking vertical to wind them around the pylons. He was flying every inch of the way, right from his bleacher's seat. And seeing all that fine flying, year after year, that did something to this kid. He was growing up, and he got a job in a chemical plant there in Fairport Harbor. But what he earned meant just one thing to him, flying lessons. And in due course, he learned how to fly. He was a private flyer. And then the war came along. We weren't in it, of course, but this boy named Blakesley was. He just couldn't have stayed out. Here was the chance for real flying. Not the amateur stuff of a private flyer. Not even that flash flying of the air races. This was going to be the greatest flying man had ever done. So young Blakesley went up to Canada and enlisted. The story from there is a saga of this war. I don't pretend to tell it as it deserves to be told, but I can do something better. Here in the studio with me today is Colonel Donald Blakesley of the American Army Air Forces. Commanding officer at 26, incidentally, commanding officer of the first fighter group to destroy 500 German planes. Here, very much grown up, is the Fairport Harbor boy who used to fly in the Cleveland air races without ever leaving his seat in the bleachers. Colonel Blakesley, will you tell us briefly what your schedule was after you went to Canada and enlisted in 1941, 3 years ago?
Why, they sent me over here and I flew with the RAF. Then I got into one of the Eagle squadrons, comprised of Americans who were in the RAF like me. And then we were transferred to the American Army.
Well, I did ask you to tell us briefly, but I didn't mean as brief as that. Will you fill in the picture for us?
I'd rather talk about my group than about myself, if that's all right. After all, I've got the best group in the world.
All right, Colonel. Tell us about your group, then. By the way, what's this group called?
Oh, it's just a number, an official designation. A certain number of fighter group.
All right. But let me tell you, listeners, what one of Colonel Blakesley's officers told me the group is called by others. It's called the Blakesley-Waffe, like the Luftwaffe. That gives an idea. This group is so good, it's like a whole air force in itself. Go ahead, Colonel. Tell us about your group, about this Blakesley-Waffe.
Well, it was formed on September 29th, 1942, the three Eagle squadrons, which we brought over into the American Air Forces from the RAF. We were the first operational group of the 8th Fighter Command. We had Spitfires then, and while we had them, we got 11 and a half German planes.
11 and a half? How do you destroy half a plane?
The other half doesn't go on flying around, does it?
No, the other half is destroyed, too. Here's the way that happened. One of our men got a German plane, and an English pilot who was operating with us got the German plane at the same time. So the credit was divided, and when the Englishman left us, he took his credit for half the plane with him. So all the way through, we've had that half plane of ours. Our count at this time is 507.5.
Well, that explains that. So, with your Spitfires, your group got 11.5 planes. And then what?
Well, then we gave the 47s, the Thunderbolts, their christening. We carried out first P-47 sweep. We pioneered the use of belly tanks for long-range missions. In July of last year, we went to Emmerich, Germany. That was the first time Allied fighters had penetrated into Germany. That day, we got 9 German fighter planes.
And that was the group's first major engagement?
No. The first real major engagement was on August 16th. We escorted bombers attacking the Bourget field outside Paris. And right over Paris, we had a big dogfight. We got 17 German planes there.
And how was the weather, Colonel, for that first big fight? And where were you fighting? Where in the sky, I mean?
The weather was clear as a bell. We started flying at about 25,000 feet and fought right down almost to the ground.
And you kept right on fighting with Thunderbolts?
No, on February 28th of this year, we got Mustangs. And then things really started. In March, we set a record of 156 German planes destroyed, 33 of them on the ground. On March 4th, we escorted heavies over Berlin. The group led the bombers in.
And how about you yourself that day, Colonel? What was your score?
My score was 0 that day. My guns went on a holiday just when I wanted to put them to work.
Germans, I suppose, all around you?
Yes, I flew right alongside of one for a while. He looked over at me and waggled his wings.
And you had some busy days right after that, didn't you?
Yes. The next day we went almost to Spain with some of the Liberators and got some of those big Focke-Wulf couriers, big bombers. And the day after that we went back to Berlin and got 17 German planes there. We went there still again 2 days later and got 18 more. But I had engine trouble on that run and had to turn back before the fighting begun. But we went back the next day and everything was all right.
Colonel, you said your group set a record in March for the number of German planes destroyed in 1 month. 156. 33 of them on the ground. Does that record still stand?
No, that record's been broken.
Been broken and by whom?
Why, we beat it ourselves in April. We got 207 enemy planes in April. 112 of those on the ground. That's when we passed the 500 mark.
Yes, I've heard about that. And I think I'd better tell our listeners a little story about that you might not mention. It seems these record-smashing flyers of the Blitzkriegswaffe were so confident of what their planes could do, so confident of what they could do, that they set a date for celebrating their 500th German plane destroyed. They set the date for that party about a week in advance, when they were still quite away from the mark. Isn't that true, Colonel?
Yes, that's right. And the boys had it figured so close that we almost had to run a special matinee that set for the party. We got our 500 all right in time, and we had the party on schedule.
Colonel, I've noticed that in telling us about German planes that you and your boys have destroyed, you always break it down into those shot out of the air and those caught on the ground. I wish that you would straighten us out on one thing about that. I think a lot of people back home have an idea that the really tough job is to fight an enemy plane in the air, and that getting them on the ground is comparatively easy. Sort of like shooting sitting birds. Now, is that right?
It's absolutely wrong. Most of our losses have been while operating against planes on the ground. To get them, you have to go right down. You can outmaneuver and outfight another fire in the air, but you can't outmaneuver flak. You just have to go through with it. The Germans have a flak we call golf ball flak. It comes up thick in orange balls. That's the most dangerous part of our business.
Colonel, one of your officers told me that you've been in continuous ops, continuous operations for 3 years now. He says your log of combat flying is getting up toward 1,000 hours now. How about a furlough home? You certainly could have got a month's leave long before now. Have you got anything like that in mind?
Not till this business is all over. I'll stay. I've got a great team, and I'm going to stay right with it.
Well, and how about when this business is finished over here?
Well, after that, I'd like to take the group to the Pacific for a whirl at the Japs. But this comes first.
Thank you, Colonel. We've heard today from Colonel Donald Blakesley of Fairport Harbor, Ohio. He's 26 years old. But he's a full colonel, commander of the American fighter group that's destroyed more German planes than any other. More than 500 German planes. He also has the British Distinguished Flying Cross, presented by King George, the American DFC, DSC, Silver Star with Cluster, and Air Medal. And it all began when a small-town boy went to the Cleveland Air Races and decided that he'd like to fly himself sometime. And it's a good thing for all of us right now that he and all the others, like the men of his fighter group, did feel that way about flying. There aren't any better anywhere. And now, we have just a moment in which I can tell you a little more about that very successful RAF Mustang attack on the Pescara Dam. Behind that dam lay one of the great artificial inland lakes of Italy. It furnished hydroelectric power to some 80% of Italy's war industries. It furnished power for 12,000 miles of electrified railways. The bombs tore away the steel sluice gates and down the water went. All that power is gone. And the German line along the 20 miles from the dam to the sea is a slough of mud and whirling water. The Daily Sketch calls it the most devastating Allied dive-bombing attack of the war. Other air news? Well, Colonel Blakesley's boys had a holiday today. You can be sure of that, or he wouldn't be here in London. But other outfits based in Britain took their turns. There was a full southwest gale in the Straits last night. It was still cold, cloudy, and very rough today. But Allied planes headed eastward just the same. Many of them passed, for a change, directly over London. And windows, where there are windows with glass in them, rattled in response to the engine roar above. About 250 Liberators went out, and all came home. And here's a nice little item. The Ministry of Transportation is considering abolishing Britain's age-old rule of the road, calling for driving on the left. One reason, home front traffic casualties had been larger than battle casualties since the war began. Of course, there's invasion news today, and as usual, it comes from Germany. Rommel has just finished a tour of defenses, and now he tells his commanders that the Allied attack must now be regarded as imminent. Then he gives that rubber stamp reassurance about new secret weapons and says that what every German soldier of the anti-invasion army contributes will be toward revenge of the Anglo-Americans for what he calls our beastly air attacks. This is W.W. Chaplin returning you now to the newsroom in New York.
You just heard another presentation of the NBC War Telescope. This is a program that comes to you each Saturday at this same time through the NBC newsroom in New York. Each Saturday, the National Broadcasting Company presents the War Telescope, during which NBC staff men in the British capital bring you interesting London glimpses of the war. Today's broadcast featured W.W. Chaplin. And Bill Chaplin, as he's known here in the NBC newsroom, had as his guest Colonel Donald Blakesley of Fairford Harbor, Ohio, of the Army Air Forces, in command of a group of fighter pilots that has accounted for more than 500 Nazi planes. We invite you to listen again next Saturday afternoon at this same time, 1:45 to 2 o'clock Eastern Wartime, for another NBC War Telescope, a presentation of the NBC News and Special Events Department. This is the National Broadcasting Company.